B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corporate Lease Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party. Chase, every bit is good. All right, this is going to be fun. This is a very interesting story. Let's get the camera. Here he is. His name is Paul Hembekidis. We know him as Hembo. Everybody knows him as Hembo from the morning show ESPN Get Up. And he's a local guy. He's a Westchester guy, right? Right, Hembo?
Yes, sir.
All right, so here's the story. The story is that you grew up listening to this show.
I did.
And so you got in touch with me as you rose through the ranks in ESPN to be their main stat guy. I'm getting messages from you with these fantastic stats for Eagles games. And I'm using all of them. And then we parlay that into a regular appearance on the show. So, like, tell me a little bit about your story on how you got to ESPN. It's funny because we were just talking to a college group, all of us, right before this show, on how they get started in the business. So, like, you where'd you go to college?
I went to college at Cedarville. Cedarville's a school in Ohio. It's where I did my undergrad. I played baseball there.
Okay.
And then I did my master's at LaSalle here.
You did your master's in LaSalle, right. And you went from there to ESPN?
I did. Some recruiter ran into me at LaSalle, liked me enough to give me a chance. I did stuff in the SID office.
Okay.
So there's a lot of work overlap because you're doing a lot of writing and all sorts of crazy hours and stuff. And so I cracked into the research department at ESPN and like about 5 years ago, almost exactly now. And as soon as I joined Mike and Mike, their radio guy had a loose enough connection with you where I was like, okay, this is my shot here. So I hacked away your phone number.
Yeah.
And then I just started rifling off stats until you finally put me on the air.
Oh, so here we are. It's an awesome story. But here's the story that I like mostly. Your head is buried in statistics. You have to really enjoy it because that kind of thing would, like, my brain stops it. You know, I'm not as accountant oriented. Is that what you really wanted to do? Or are you just, you're programmed to be a stat guy?
I'm not really a math person, but I know, I've watched enough sports and I know how to apply the math. So, but I feel like now the sports fan is a lot smarter than it used to be. You grew up, you know, on box scores. Now, you talked about Moneyball to start the show today. Mm-hmm. That's my generation, right? So kids don't just want to know what happened. They want to know how it happened. We want to know why it happened. And now we have all the data that can tell us those answers. And that's what makes my job so fun, is that you can tell whatever story that you want through the numbers. And I you know, to an extent, it's sort of an art. And, you know, over the last 5 years or so, I've, you know, gotten a little better at it. And here we are.
Well, how do you dig into the number? Like, where do you start? What's the path for you to get these numbers? So, first of all, on the show, you're on your feet. I mean, you're on the fly. You throw a stat, like, out of nowhere, and they put your little graphic on there.
It took me a couple years to perfect that, actually, because when I was on Mike and Mike, I knew about 3 minutes before a segment what they were going to talk about. Like, literally, that's it. Segment before, and I would try to find at least one tidbit of information that might support their argument or, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever the topic was at hand. And so now, over the course of time, it got so fast, and I sort of knew what points they were going to make over the course of time, that it's just sort of a thing that snowballed for me. But usually the starting place for me is like a tidbit that our analysts will give, or something that our talent will say that'll trigger something. For example, Lou Riddick might tell me the Ravens need to attack the middle of the Chargers defense. Well, I just it just so happens that this year they were terrible in between the numbers and they were really good outside the hashes. That was a big story in that playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the time, like, I'm not even the one making the observations.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't even watch most of the games because I get up so early.
Right.
So I got to rely on them. They're the ones that make all the money, but it's my job to make them look smart.
All right, so you start out in Bristol, and you're there for how many years? Bristol, Connecticut.
Bristol, Connecticut for about 3.5 years.
Okay, so now the show, the idea for the new show with Mike Greenberg, and it originally started with Beatle, and you've made some changes since then. But that was a transition, because this show was going to be telecast from New York City. You can probably live on a dime in Bristol, Connecticut, and now you go to New York with the show. First of all, obviously you wanted the gig, but it's a major, they probably, Greeny asked for you to come with you?
The day after he announced it. He asked me to come with him, and that was definitely the best opportunity for me. I mean, I hitched my wagon to him 4 years ago, and you know, I could have made a lot worse of a decision. But yeah, that was a new challenge at the time. Obviously, you know, the show has evolved a lot since then. But I couldn't be happier now, and we got a beautiful spot in New York City. To be honest with you, though, I'm sort of a suburban person, so the city life.
You're a Westchester kid. Where do you went to Church Farm School?
I went to Church Farm School.
Church Farm School. So you are suburban.
The Harvard of Exton.
Yeah.
For high school.
Yes, it
underprivileged
is.
High school boys.
Yeah. All right, so living in Manhattan, what's the difference now? You making enough cheese? They paying enough cheese up there?
Living with two randos and waiting to get married in September.
All right, you're engaged and your bachelor party's coming up soon.
But that is...
You have no idea where your friends are taking.
I have not the slightest clue where these Delco bros that I call my best friends are dragging me this weekend. But I, frankly, am not certain... I'm gonna like it. My girlfriend, I mean, my fiance, at least knows. I mean, she's going to Nashville with the ladies, and that's gonna be one thing. But these guys, just watch out on the switchboard. They might be calling to heckle you at some point today.
They're that kind. All right. Well, let me get you. You know what the theme of the show is. Especially you were good enough to supply your own trivia. So as part of General Knowledge Wednesday, we're going Hembo trivia. As one of the categories.
That's exciting.
Yes. This is great.
But these aren't all sports, which is very interesting. You heard the theme of the show. We identified eight guys in Philadelphia. First of all, you're still a rabid Philadelphia sports fan. They say it all the time. You're a rabid Eagle fan, rabid Sixer fan, the whole bit. So we've identified eight players, 26 and under, and trying to predict their future. So I want to go down the list with you as a Philadelphia fan and a national perspective guy. Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons' rep nationally is not nearly as good as it is here, and there's plenty of people here that destroy him. I sent this to Tyrone earlier. There's a pretty good list he's on. 2,000 points, 1,000 assists, 1,000 rebounds in his first two seasons. LeBron, Oscar, and Ben Simmons. He's wildly productive. We know that. Mm-hmm. The three-point shooting is just, it is what it is. Giannis just won the MVP of the league, being the worst jump shooter in the league, statistically, right? I'm actually not of the opinion that he needs to become an awesome three-point shooter to be a star. He just needs to become a good enough free throw shooter, frankly, just with how he attacks the paint and stuff. So my contention is that Ben Simmons will be an all-NBA player sooner than later. The shooting, obviously, is that will determine whether or not he's a first-teamer or a third-teamer. But I'm more confident in him and his future than anyone else on that team.
Interesting. I'm a little shaky. I gotta be honest with you. I hear what your point about the three-point shot. I need the medium-range jump shot. And the fact that he won't take it is something I have never seen in the history of me viewing sports.
No one shoots the mid-range jumper anymore, though. Okay, that is absolutely...
Yeah, but for him, when guys back off, he's got a 10 to 15-footer every single time down the floor.
He does. I mean, he definitely does. He's not close though to a finished product. I think the notion that his shot is broken or that he's shooting with the wrong hand or some such nonsense is exactly that. So I don't abide by that school of thought. I was in an argument actually a couple days ago with Zach Lowe about this. Zach Lowe maintains the opinion that if he can't shoot, he's not going to be a guy.
You don't believe? I'm with Tyrone. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Joel Embiid.
I think in 10 years we're going to say that Joel Embiid was great 5 years ago. The body is what concerns me so much. So the skill set is extraordinary. I mean, he's Hakeem Olajuwon light if he can play 70 games a year, even if he can play every game of the playoffs.
Longevity worries you.
Does that worry you?
Yes.
I mean, Yao Ming's a decent comp. Like, Yao Ming was more of a freak physically with the extremes. And Embiid is more skilled than he was, too, in my judgment.
All right. Bryce Harper.
Bryce is going to have these sort of outrageous slumps that come out of nowhere. He's such an emotional player. I think that's what I don't favor about him. Like, I was very supportive. I called him the show that day and nearly had a conniption when he signed because it was so exciting. And I still feel that way. He's a dude. The problem is that Bryce doesn't have a ton of other ancillary skills. He's got to hit. He's just got to hit. He's got to be able to hit velocity. He's got to be able to reduce his swing and miss. I think you're going to see him have two or three awesome seasons in the next 10, 12 years. But there's going to be years like this, too, when you just,
you're not feeling a 10-year, boy, he might be a Hall of Famer career.
Bryce Harper might accrue enough stats to be a Hall of Famer, but I don't think, he is not in the same stratosphere as Mike Trout, to whom he's often compared.
Okay, Reese Hoskins.
Reese Hoskins is a very similar player. He's just a better hitter right now. But the problem is Reese Hoskins got a bad body. He can't play anywhere in the field. He's an American League player.
Mm-hmm.
Reese Hoskins is an American League player, but that also might allow the Phillies to sign him for a lot cheaper than what might otherwise get on the open market.
Okay. He is a Boris client, though.
Well, never mind.
Yeah, he is.
He's a Boris client.
All right, now I know the next guy you love, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is my dude. Although, look, what Nick Foles did in the city was one of the most extraordinary things I've ever seen in my life, and I'm sure you'd agree. You've been doing this a lot longer than I have. But Carson Wentz's skill set is legendary. You talk to analysts at ESPN, they all tell me the same thing. Like, he is different. He was Patrick Mahomes the year before Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes. He would have won MVP of the league if he didn't shred his knee. I'm not going to use last year as my primary data point in analyzing his game, to me, he's going to be well worth that $100 million. But, you know, he's missed a third of his games dating back to his, you know, senior year of college. That's the question mark with all these guys. But the NFL, there's never been a safer time to play quarterback in the NFL. I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope that's the case.
All right, now they're the splashy. Now we'll get to the guys that aren't as splashy. Derek Barnett, what do you see in him?
Well, I mean, I don't
situational
think
player, he's not a star.
He doesn't belong on the list as in the same list as the four other guys. He just doesn't. I love like he can be an adequate starter on a good team, and that's it. I think his ceiling, he's not even their best edge.
All right, let's go flyer. How much of a flyer guy are you?
About zero, frankly. I mean, I work at the worldwide leader, and that's
the worldwide leader. I think they got two guys that talk about hockey. Actually, three.
I think we showed
Pucci, Gras, Levy, and then Melrose.
And Barry. I think we did one hockey highlight this year. It was the clinching game of the cup.
Carter Hart.
Can't help you. I just can't. I've been brainwashed by the mothership.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, let's go to the phone. Let's take some phone calls. I want to get it. We're going to do Hembo trivia for everybody in this hour. Ian in media. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
How you doing, Mikey?
What's up, Ian?
Nothing much. No, I was just, you guys were talking about flyers, and I was going to shoot in and give you who I was thinking has the potential for that.
Oh, you and who are you giving me?
I'll give you all right, so the guys, Konechny, I think he has a chance.
You know, we probably should have put Konechny on the list.
Oh, I think he could be a he could be a LeClaire, more like LeClaire if he stays on the sides because he does more of the passing and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And could be in contention for that top offense run. I know everyone focuses on Carter Hart. We haven't had a pair of good goalies since Bush. I'm going to give you a name you haven't heard of in a long time. Roman Čechmánek.
Yeah. The Czech. The Czech, as they used to call him.
Yeah, you haven't heard of him a long time. I knew that one.
Yeah, I know the Czech. All right. Ian, would you like a general knowledge question for FanFest tickets? All right, this is from the Hembo list. Who is the only Duke player enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Uh-oh. I might be in trouble.
You're in trouble?
Can I get a clue?
What is it, what?
Yeah. Can I get a clue?
No, you can't get a clue. Duke player is the clue. Oh, you're out.
Actually,
yeah, that's too long. That could be headed towards Googleville. It is Grant Hill. Tyrone, did you know that one?
I did know that one. He's my all-time favorite college player.
Grant Hill is your all-time favorite college?
My all-time favorite. I loved the team where when everybody left, and it was him and I don't know who that made the Final Four. They beat the big dog. They made it to the final game and lost. He carried a bunch of mutts. Nobody else played in the league. I loved Grant Hill.
Good question. Who my favorite college player? Because I covered college basketball for many years.
You did.
You know. Who is my favorite college basketball player of all time? I think I got it.
Who?
Danny Manning.
He was amazing.
Danny Manning. How about you, Hembo?
Well, I covered LaSalle the year that they went to the Sweet 16. That was the most fun that I ever had watching college basketball. But I think it's extraordinarily hard to believe that. I mean, Duke has been the most successful program the last 30 or 40 years, and they have produced one Hall of Fame player. I mean, that to me is an extraordinary thing. I mean, I think Kyrie Irving has a chance to get there. But, I mean, when you go down that list, Christian Laettner's not in. All these Dukies aren't in the whole. I mean, I don't think Elton Brand will get in. It's bizarre that there's only one.
It is pretty bizarre.
It's his. That's the one. If you want to have a there's one flaw in his resume is he doesn't produce pros the way the other great all the other coaches that are at the tippy top have produced better pros. We look at all the big Calipari, for example, produces more.
Oh yeah,
quality professional players than Coach K ever will. Mm-hmm. Same with Carolina. Roy Williams produces more tippy-top guys than Coach K when they come to transition into the league. It's an odd thing because they all have access to the same top players. He doesn't seem to develop the tippy-top guys.
Bill Self, too, at Kansas.
You're right. They all get the same tippy-top guys. Only he's the only one that kind of takes away the ceiling. Who knows what Okafor might have been if he didn't go to Duke? Maybe they get him moving his feet. Maybe they make him develop a jump shot. He's a better player.
What was the story we were looking at the other day that Bobby Hurley's name it was in?
It was the Blue Chips.
It was a great story. Was that in The Athletic?
That was Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated has a story on the making of Blue Chips. and how they assembled a lot of guys that could play as the team. And, yeah, you know, they wanted guys that could play. That's why they got Shaq and Penny Hardaway. And then they assembled a team that played against them in college. And apparently the biggest ladies man during the filming of that movie was a Dookie Hemba. Who was it?
Well, that's not, I got to admit, that is not in my database.
It's not in your database? Never saw Blue Chips?
No.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, I never saw Blue Chips.
You can't be too young for Blue Chips.
I was too busy
well,
putting together some trivia questions, as it were.
It was Bobby Hurley, believe it or not.
Huh.
Bobby Hurley.
Huh.
How about that? He
was popular at Duke, but I thought he was popular with the fellas.
Apparently, he was popular with the ladies.
Look at that.
On the set of Blue Chips.
Look at that.
Dan in Orland, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan. Yo, Dan.
About that. Can you hear me?
What's up, Dan? Go ahead.
Okay. So, good segue about that Hall of Fame conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Quick question before I make my point.
Yes.
Do you think he will, and do you think he deserves to get in? And I'm talking about Iguodala.
In where?
Into the Hall of Fame.
What?
Okay, because I don't think he has any shot. And some,
what do you bring him up for? What other people would say? Come on. Andre Iguodala's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, you're shaking your head too. What?
Andre Iguodala's going to the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
He is not deserving of going. Look, if you can, you know, dribble the ball up the floor without it going off out of bounds off of your foot, you can get into the Basketball Hall of Fame. He's the Finals MVP. The list of non-Hall of Famers to win that award is very short, at least among those who are eligible. I think Cornbread is the only other guy that comes to mind. Three-time champion. He has all these things that people care about in the back of the car.
I will. If Andre Iguodala goes to the Hall of Fame, I'll never visit the Hall of Fame ever.
He's getting in.
He's getting in.
You gotta be kidding me.
He's getting in.
Oh yeah.
I've never even crossed my mind.
The analytical people look at. They dig deeper. Tom Haberstroh, for example, is a guy. He wrote a piece about it because of his playoff plus minus. They use that too. His playoff plus minus.
See, this is where stats fail you, Hemba. this is where I got to blame you for this. It is partially your fault that they would consider Andre Iguodala for the Hall of Fame.
Andre Iguodala had the best plus minus in the playoffs for the Warriors over this stretch of time.
See?
Not Steph, not Clay, not Dre, not KD. Andre Iguodala was the guy.
Told you.
The glue guy.
All those guys.
Blue doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame.
If you play for the Celtics in the 60s, it did. The whole squad's in. The guys that didn't even start for that team are in the Hall of Fame. Andre Iguodala's going to the Hall of Fame.
Do your eyes tell you Hall of Fame?
No, I wouldn't.
Without the numbers and the stats, does your eyes tell you Hall of Fame?
No, I wouldn't vote for him, but that's not the question. He is going to the Hall of Fame along with those other three guys on that team. No doubt.
They're all going in, including him. He's getting in.
That's just totally ridiculous.
And don't let him get traded to the Lakers now, and then they win. They're not going to give credit to LeBron. There'll be a certain segment of people that say, Iguodala's the reason they couldn't put it together. Iguodala was the glue. That's going to happen if he goes to the Lakers, which is a rumor that they may trade to get him.
I'm speechless. I really am. There was no player I disliked more in this town.
I agree with you.
All right. AJ in Jenkintown. AJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Anybody who calls into your show knows to not ever say that name in front of your cousin. So we're just going to start it there. Hey, Hembo.
How are we doing today?
AJ's one of our great callers, Hembo.
Yeah, I'm not going to turn on him just like AC did. So AJ knows better.
Yes.
And she appreciates everybody from the show. But I just have
don't you appreciate me just like a little more? Just a little more?
Oh, well, hello.
All right.
I could email you a picture that you took with me at one of the fan fests. You probably wouldn't remember.
I remember.
Okay. We're getting another one. Anyway, so my subject was Phillies first. I felt bad for JT only because he didn't, you know, it was a boring game. You didn't really get to really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But how embarrassing for the equipment people to not remember to bring his helmet or whatever.
He had to use the St. Louis Cardinal helmet and peel off the logo.
What the hell is that about? Like, if they don't look so unprofessional, are there interns working there now? Like, can I get a job for the film?
That's a little oversight. You know, I'm not going to blame the equipment guy for not packing a helmet.
I know, but that's a daggone shame. And then the pitchers, watching some of the pitchers, they from the AL, they throw like hard and down. And I noticed that is definitely missing from our staff. And I mean, for the Philly staff, and that's what's holding them back.
Yes.
But I also wanted to say that in general, I'm very excited about this Eagles season. I'm really excited because D-Jack is back. And I'm even more excited now because Carson has seen the top of the mountain and he wasn't able to climb it. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like, once again,
this is a year for you. This is it. This is Super Bowl year for you.
God knows I want to go to Miami. So he's putting them back in Miami 2020. I keep putting it on all my hashtags. And the ginger Jesus will rise again.
All right, AJ, it's time for you want a Hembo trivia question for General Knowledge Wednesday?
I'm going to embarrass myself.
Hembo question. This is a great one. Who is the last player selected first overall in the NBA draft that was not a freshman? I'm gonna give you a hint.
Okay.
Red hair.
Red hair.
Red hair, not a white man.
Was he kind of like that nougat color that one guy from the next one?
That's all I can tell you. Red hair, not a white man.
Red hair. Not Dennis Rodman, is it?
No.
I don't know.
It's Blakey.
Oh, yeah, the Sixers nougat. He's like a nougat brother, too. He's a nougat brother.
He is. That is the correct term. That is the preferred shade of Kendall Jenner.
She likes the nougat brother.
Kuzma, Ben Simmons, Blake Griffin. That's the last three boyfriends, all that similar nougat complexion. It's a thing in the black community.
Nougat?
A nougat brother?
That's just one of the terms for it. The key thing is, take the paper bag, go slightly lighter, play in the NBA, you got a shot with Kendall. That's what it says.
All right.
I didn't make those rules.
I know. She made those rules.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back. Hembo, could you spend one more segment with us?
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. With Paul Hembo-Key, this is our Hembo from Get Up ESPN. He needs a local dude. He's hanging out. And he listened to this show. Why did you listen to the show? What was so great about the show when you were listening as a kid?
I mean, I was addicted when I was a kid. I have you to thank, or I guess to blame, for my my fandom, my pessimism. Like, I told you the first time I used to call in and you wouldn't put me through because I had this high voice, you know? It was about 5 years ago. So
you grew up cynical because of me.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, back at this. 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.333 Mike Vesnelli Show. We have a special guest. You know him as Hembo. He provides us with great stats during the football season. A local guy in Westchester who's representing up at ESPN. Always representing the Philadelphia side.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing this stupid Santa Claus story. You gotta set these people straight. You know how it goes.
Yeah, this still comes up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
at least
you try to shut people down with that. Here's how you get in. 610-622-0975. Here's the theme of today's show. We identified 8 guys 26 and under. Simmons, Embiid, Harper, Hoskins, Wentz, Barnett, Carter Hart, Nolan Patrick as the 2 flyer guys we put in there. And we're asking you to project 10 years from now, what would the legacy of these guys be? We went for the first 2 are the biggest names. Simmons, Tyrone thinks is going to be Magic Johnson. And so do you, Hembo.
I don't think he's going to be Magic Johnson.
You think he's going to be of that star caliber player?
He'll be a perennial all NBA player.
Okay.
There's going to be enough shooters around him that he won't have to. That's my
And Joel Embiid, you think the longevity will hurt him?
Yeah, I think he'll probably tap out by the time he's 30. Mm-hmm. But if he gives you a good decade as a big, Tyrone, like that's more than enough, frankly.
That would be five more years. So that means he would have seven all NBA seasons in a career. Mm-hmm. That's pretty. There's not a lot of centers with seven all NBA seasons.
So if we're looking at this list, the surefire guys, according to you, stardom guys, are Simmons, Embiid, Wentz.
Yeah.
So you're going to see Harper in that.
You didn't ask me Harper.
Well, all right, I'm going to ask you Harper.
You're right. Because I'm trying to judge Philadelphia. Uh-huh. I can't put Washington in.
I got to be honest. It's not enough. That's three dudes.
Well, I'm a believer in Carter Hart, but it's really early. I am a believer in Carter Hart, but it's really early. My issue with Harper is, I know he already has an MVP. My question is...
Don't jinx Carter Hart with the Club Tyrone.
No, he's not in Club Tyrone. Please don't. He's not in Club Tyrone.
All right.
But I do wonder, if will Harper win an MVP in the 13 seasons with the Phillies? That's my question.
He definitely will win an MVP.
See, and that's where I'm not 100% sure.
How do you not 100% sure? He's having a mediocre year. He's got almost 60 RBIs.
That was because McCutchen, a lot of guys were on base in front of him, and he does fine with guys on base. RBI, I can't just look at RBIs. The rest of his stat, and he's hitting doubles.
RBI is a reflection of clutch hitting.
There's also a reflection of a lot of guys being on base in front of him. And early in the season, there was a ton of guys on base when he was coming up, when McCutchen was cooking. McCutchen was on base all the time. He was a great leadoff hitter. He would have been all-star.
But right now, McCutchen's not on base. And
his June was terrible.
His average with guys on base is amazing.
Yeah, and he's a good hitter. But look at Yelich, look at Bellinger. He's not in their class at all, and I don't know if he's going to catch up.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. He's in their class.
I don't think
he's just not shown it just yet.
Those guys already have 30 home runs.
It's just 1 year. We're talking about over a career, right? Bryce Harper.
Well,
is.
No, this is now 2 years in a row where Yelich is a much better player.
Yelich is a gifted player,
and I'm saying I think he's on another tier. Not forget Trout. Trout's on the top tier. Okay. Yelich and Bellinger under that, and I think Harper's below that. And that's my concern.
Well, Bellinger didn't have a great year last year.
He got hurt last year.
With men on base this year, Harper batting .366, yeah. OPS north of 1,100. Runners in scoring position, he's batting .405. He's been great in leverage.
That's a clutch gene.
That is.
If you have the clutch gene, there's no way you can't be a superstar.
Well, let's see. He has not been a superstar so far as a Phillies player.
He's been a star, though.
No.
60 RBIs is a star.
He didn't make the All-Star team. He shouldn't have. He shouldn't sniff it. He's not in that class so far this year.
I'm a Harper guy. Chris in Williamstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mike, I'm with you. I'm 100% a Harper guy. That's why I don't have, even though he's not on the biggest of terrors right now, I'm not worried about him. It's 1-6 that really bother me the most. Yeah, I'm going to say Barnett, I'm with you. I don't know that I've seen enough out of him to really warrant, mm-hmm. even considering him a future Hall of Famer, let alone, just a good player. So I'm not sold on Barnett, but Ben Simmons. Let's go to Brett Brown for 1 second, and it'll all tie together for you in a second here.
Yeah.
Brett Brown, after he aired that team out, in game two of the Brooklyn series, we all knew he was not that kind of guy. That was just not his way of instilling confidence in his team, was airing them out when they were playing very bad in that first game, and then even the second game starting off the way they did. I don't know that Ben Simmons and Ty, I will take a bet to any charity you want any day that says Ben Simmons will not attempt a legit shot this whole season.
Hold on, Chris. I'll make the bet, but I don't make enough for it to be for charity. I want the cash. I bet you directly. Give me the money so I can spend the money.
I mean, I was trying
to make it
where the show, there was no, but I don't think, as long as Brett Brown is here, the man will continually pat Ben Simmons on the back and say, you will be great at what you're great at. You don't have to worry about everything everybody else thinks.
$50, Chris.
Like Jason Kidd.
$50, Chris.
Well, we
$50,
can
Chris. Right, put your money.
We can do that.
All right.
Set it up anytime. I don't think he will ever become a great point. When he is talked about as a Hall of Fame player, it will be for
assist categories before he will ever be for score points.
He's going to score points. It's just he won't score him shooting a jump shot. He averaged 16 a game without shooting a jump shot. If he gets the jump shot, it's up to 24. Yeah, or more.
This year, I don't think he will do it.
All right, let me give you a general. All right, go ahead, quick.
No, because I got fan pit tickets already, so I'll use.
Oh, you do? Better. Okay.
Natalie, we gotta. Have you ever seen Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Yes.
When he used to come out, I hear Kyo, and I thought instantly of Hacksaw Jim Duggan when she did that.
That's right. That's right.
By you,
Hacksaw. There you go.
Hey, thanks,
two
Chris.
By four, and then he switched from the two by four to the American flag. He did. He's the current American flag after the 2x4.
Did it have the 13 stars, or was it the...
It was the all glory.
Okay.
The all 50.
All right, so Hembo, in the time we have remaining, less than a minute here, I'm going to give you these trivia questions on the NBA championship team starting lineups. If you can come through.
We'll see.
All right. First Heat championship, of course, had Wade Bosch, LeBron. Who are the other two starters?
I believe Mario Chalmers started for that team.
That's correct.
And I believe that Udonis Haslem also started for that team.
That is incorrect.
Yeah.
It was Adoki.
Adoki. For the 2012 Heat.
Adoki with a wrinkled head.
Oh, Shane Battier.
Yes, there it was. The wrinkled head clue did it. All right, I'll give you two more. 2011 Mavericks. Of course, there was Dirk. There was Kidd. Give me two of the three remaining starters.
I want to say that Devin Harris started for that team.
Incorrect. That's a good guess, though.
Deshaun Stevenson, Josh.
Incorrect.
Both are incorrect.
I'll give you one went to UNLV. The other was from Puerto Rico. And the
Carlos Arroyo?
No, it wasn't Carlos Arroyo.
Sean Marion.
Sean Marion's the UNLV guy.
Puerto Rico guy.
And the center was...
J.J. Barea.
J.J. Barea is correct. And the center was drafted at a high school. But has had a long NBA career.
Was that Al Jefferson? No, that was not him.
That would be incorrect. He's still playing. He's still in the league, this guy.
He's also the complexion that would make him eligible
Nugent brother.
Yep, he is.
I can't help you.
Tyson Chandler.
Yeah, he's been around.
Yes, he has. Hembo, this was fun,
Thanks for playing.
Thanks for coming in. I know you're home this week. You got the big bachelor party, all that stuff. Thanks for stopping in, and we'll look forward to having the Hembo segment as we get to Eagle season.
Looking forward to it, bud.
Thanks, brother.
Good stuff.
All right, let's take a quick break. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:48, Mike Missinelli Show on a Wednesday, General Knowledge Wednesday, All-Star Week, where really the world kind of stops. So we're talking about our own players and the potential for stardom. And I, you know, looking at this list, and I'm going, it's not bountiful. It's not a bountiful list of guys. Yes, yeah, star. And we're good for the next 10 years. Don't you think we should have a little more?
Yes, we do. But every city, every team that wins has a guy that surprises. Mm-hmm. Like, no one thought Siakam was going to become the guy that he was. Mm-hmm. I do wonder, like, Kaiten, how many unexpected emerges are under the surface? Because that's what we probably need. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the optimistic view, if Ben Simmons, it's not impossible for him to shoot. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible for Embiid to be healthy. Carson Wentz, Harper, if Harper mm-hmm. wins the MVP, Simmons shoots, Embiid is healthy, and Wentz is healthy, that's not bad. You have a great quarterback, a great right fielder that's an MVP level, two stars that'll lead you to a title. That's not bad. And possibly a stud goalie. There are cities in worse situations. We're just not at the tippy top.
Okay.
Like, I'm trying to pick another city. Like L.A. right now, the Dodgers have a bunch of players. The Lakers have some guys. They It's kind of mixed up with those because they have two teams. If you just took the one side, all four aren't solid.
I got a couple questions that are on my mind. I have nothing to do with sports. So but as you know, my brain, stuff pops into my head.
Yes.
So I just saw this corporate email about tickets being available for a certain concert.
Yeah.
It's Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
Explain to me why, like, I don't get the concept of going back in time.
Yeah, I don't.
Because I go, I lived through the Frampton thing. Frampton Comes Alive album was the top selling thing. Huge. I mean, Frampton had the hair, you know, good looking dude, could play guitar a whole bit. But now Frampton?
Yeah.
People love him.
Why do you want to go back in time? That's the question.
I don't think it's really going back in time.
They like the music and they continue to follow the creator.
But the music was 30 years ago.
Right, but classic rock, you're aware, obviously, classic rock stations exist. Classic rock exists because people say when there's a certain milestone that happens that some people wait until they're married and others don't, if you get my drift on the milestone.
Yeah, but they're listening to the classic rock that they read 30 years ago, not the guy today.
Right, but what the
Baby,
saying
I Love
is,
Your Way is still a great song.
The saying is,
I want you.
Oh, yeah.
The song that happens when that milestone happens, that music you'll like for the rest of your life. So why not see it live?
No, I do. Like,
so why not go see them?
But I don't get why now you would see. It's like a totally different thing now.
Because
he's not Frampton anymore. He's a bald old guy.
That makes an assumption he doesn't still do a good performance. I saw Paul McCartney 2 years ago.
Same.
He was fantastic all over the stage, went straight through, no breaks, and two encores.
Well, and it brings you back to that time in your life when they were super popular.
Right. And when that music hit you.
Why do you want to go back in time?
Because maybe you enjoyed it.
I
always try to stay ahead of the game. I don't go back in time.
I know that's you.
To be honest, it's not like I don't appreciate the music. I lived through the era.
Yeah.
And I appreciated it then. I had the album.
I saw Snoop Dogg somewhat recently in concert. Snoop came out when I was 13 years old. I mean, I still can like Kendrick Lamar or Drake and still go to a Snoop concert. And also, I don't know why you can't do both. Snoop is from my childhood.
Like I said, I'm misguided. Here's the other question, because I heard Anthony and Jason talking about this, about the taste of certain alcohols.
Yeah, don't even start it on Jason.
Wait,
I felt
why?
Like you when Jason was talking about alcohol.
Well, why? Wait, I missed this.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I don't know what he said.
Okay.
But, here's the question I have when it comes to alcohol, because we all drink alcohol, right? Do we drink alcohol like hard liquor? Do we like the taste of any hard liquor, or do we just drink it because it sends us to a certain place? Is there a liquor that you go, yummy?
Spicy tequila.
Yeah, I really like spicy tequila.
Really?
Yeah, it's so good.
And
the taste of it.
Yeah,
the taste of tequila.
A good tequila is palatable to my
palate. After the Mikey Miss Open, someone gave me a bottle of the Revivalist.
Oh, the Revivalist Spicy Gin.
Spicy Gin.
It was
so good.
It's fantastic. I like the taste of it. I absolutely do.
Right.
But your point is well taken, though.
My point, like vodka.
It's an acquired taste.
Can you sip a vodka and go, whoa, that's really tasty? Can you do that?
Well, it depends what it's mixed with.
Gin is spiced up, so it gives it the extra flavor.
Yeah.
The tequila you're talking about is like straight tequila.
Yeah,
I like the taste of it. I don't mind it. You don't mind it because you know that it feels good.
But it's
going
an acquired
down.
Taste.
Right.
And a lot of the best tastes are acquired
taste. Do you sip tequila or do you shoot?
Me?
No, I sip it.
I sip it? Tequila.
Yeah.
You do.
You might not want to go by this room.
Yeah,
we hung out together. don't go by this room.
I was curious because I always had this thing with like vodka sauce, like penne with vodka sauce. I'm like, what's the
good?
Point? What's the point of vodka in a sauce?
It gives it that extra. There's like an extra kick to
extra kick.
What about a dirty martini? They're my favorite as well.
Vodka penne with vodka sauce. it's like totally overrated. And I'm talking about a guy who cooks a lot of sauces.
You do make a lot of, you're a sauce man.
What about wine sauces? It
makes no sense.
What about wine sauces?
Wine is different. Wine is the only liquor that you can actually, the only alcohol that you can sit and savor.
Right.
Wine is a different, like I'm talking about the hard liquors.
Right.
Like wine, I can sit and drink and enjoy a glass of wine. Love the taste of wine.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like sipping give me a glass of vodka. Mm, yummy.
No, you know, I can't do
you
that.
You know,
it burns.
It does. Everything burns. If it's a hard liquor.
Yeah, some people like the burn.
We drink it not because we love the taste.
No, it's all an acquired. No one likes alcohol the first time they taste it. I don't think.
No. It's no, the first definitely
time
you drink, not.
No one likes it. Even wine I didn't like the first time I had it.
A good bourbon, a really good bourbon, I can sit and sip.
Yeah.
But like a clear liquid, I don't know. Why were you even talking about this?
Just because it's in
my head.
You brought it up.
It's in my head. I don't know. I had to get it out. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We have a full board of phone calls right here on 97.5, the Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.